Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again. We are back. Welcome to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I'm Brian. I'm here with Angela Hoy, President and CEO of BookLocker.com and the founder of WritersWeekly.com.
I'm here.
You're here. Last week, we started part one of this little mini series on the Yahoo Boys. If you didn't listen to that, it will help immensely if you go back and listen to that episode.
Episode 25.
And just to kind of recap, the Yahoo Boys, that is a specific kind of a subset of all internet scammers that are mainly concentrated in Nigeria and Ghana. When you think of a scammer, don't be thinking of some stupid person sitting in their basement, you know, just sending out silly little emails saying, I'm a Nigerian prince. These guys are sophisticated. They have networks. They train. Mm-hmm. They study psychology. They understand what makes you tick. They have branched out into all kinds of other scams, phishing scams, bank account scams, claiming to be from the government. Scams,
gift cards,
new home scams. They know how to build websites, make those websites look like something real.
Yeah.
They know how to program links so that when you click on something that they tell you to click on, it loads your computer up with spyware so they can then search through your computer and watch what you're doing on your computer without you even knowing. So they are definitely a real threat in this world.
They can get information from your phone as well.
Yep. And they are also involved in the publishing, scams. You know, there is no one group that just like focuses on publishing scams. Publishing scams, just another scam to these people. All they have to do, they have a template. They adapt their, methods to this. All they have to do is look at it and say, okay, publishing, what are the trigger points? What do people want out of this? Mm-hmm. And how do we trick them into coming to us instead of a legitimate company? So, yeah, when you're getting scammed, never say or never think, you know, oh, I've got a scammer trying to scam me. It's always usually a team of these guys working together, one talking to you and probably two or three others sitting there researching you. Mm-hmm. And pulling up all the information they can find on the internet about you.
Yep.
Romance scams.
Just
they're in
to get
on that
you
too.
To respond. Yep.
But
yep.
Just so they figured out how to get you to keep talking to them and eventually give them money. Okay. Yep. So we ended last episode talking about the world's richest Yahoo Boys. And again, it's forgivable if you think, well, these guys are from Nigeria, so they can't be really making all that kind of money. No, these guys, some of them are worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Others are worth in the tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. They're doing big business with this.
Yeah.
They're wearing real fancy clothes. They're driving high-end cars, and I am talking Bentley and Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. They have jets. They have helicopters. They have it all.
Mm-hmm. They've got big followings on social media over mm-hmm. there. They're influencers.
And
it's considered honorable yep. to scam people in the West.
They're celebrities.
Yeah.
They party in places like Dubai and London, and you know, they're not stuck in Nigeria. They stay in Nigeria because they know nobody's coming after them in Nigeria. The government is corrupt. The police are corrupt. Yeah, they'll make an arrest here and there, but you never really hear of any of these people getting put away for any length of time, and they damn sure aren't handing them over to us and the FBI to try in this country.
However, some of them do make mistakes.
Well, let's talk about mistakes.
Well, yesterday we were talking about Dharma Ritchie. He was worth $410 million, and he jumped off his balcony of his apartment in Lagos, Nigeria, and killed himself. And we speculated it probably wasn't from guilt.
Yeah.
So he was just leading a really crappy life. The number three guy on the list, his name is Ray Hushpuppy. That's not his real name.
Really, you think?
And Hush Puppy is with an I at the end instead of a Y. He's worth an estimated $70 million, and he's actually in prison right now.
How did he end up in prison?
Well, he wasn't in Nigeria. He decided to take a trip to Dubai, and he was extradited to the United States by Dubai because there were warrants out for his arrest here. He took his crimes to a far higher level. I think he ripped off a law firm for $40 million.
Mm.
I mean, he was very good at what
he did.
That'll
get people's attention.
And he made the mistake of leaving Nigeria on probably a very, very nice vacation to Dubai, and he's now in prison.
If I recall, I think I saw a story on that. I believe the FBI got with the authorities in Dubai and said, hey, you know, if this guy's we know this guy comes here to party,
right?
And if when he does come here, will you let us know? We'll come out here and we're going to pick him up. And UAE agreed to do that.
The problem is, if you've been scammed by a publishing scammer or any of the other ones that the Yahoo boys are involved in, you're not getting your money back.
No.
And chances are they're not going to get arrested.
Well, and the other thing is, even with Hush Puppy getting arrested, brought back here and tried and gone to prison, that doesn't necessarily mean they're getting a hold of all his funds and paying back all the victims.
Oh, absolutely.
Because his money's still in a bank account, either in Nigeria, possibly in the United Arab Emirates. Who knows?
Or he spent it all, and that's why he kept scamming
he spent
more
it all.
Companies.
Yeah, he doesn't have anything more to spend. But that just because they bust one, and that's one out of thousands,
multi-thousands.
Just because they bust one doesn't mean you're getting your money back.
And they're not all in Nigeria and Ghana. There are some. They're scattered all over the world, and there are some in the United States.
Yep.
And they're really taking a risk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of a rule of thumb, if you're getting any unsolicited contact by anybody you did not look up and ask to contact you, and that means email, social media, mail, your website, your phone, anywhere, just accept that it's spam or a scam.
Yeah.
And don't answer.
Spammers or scammers.
Do not interact with those people. You know, my phone rings, if I don't recognize that number on there, I don't answer it.
Well, you know why? When you want to buy a car, they want you to come to the dealership, right?
Well, yeah.
Because it's a hard sell. And
because
they know
that if they
it.
Can sit you down and look you in the eye and keep talking,
they know exactly what to say. Exactly. And these scammers, even though they're not looking you in the eye, if they can engage you in a conversation, your chances of getting scammed by them are much higher because they are very good at what they do.
You got it.
Yep.
Okay, so let's move on to part two, and this is Yahoo Boys Scam Victim Stories and how you can protect yourself, your children, and others.
Yeah, and especially your elderly parents who are online who don't understand how these things work.
Yeah.
So these are really sad, very sad stories. Jordan Buta, B-U-T-A, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. He was 17 years old, and he was talking to somebody online. He thought it was a girl his age. She was flirting with him. She sent him sexual pictures, coaxed him into sharing explicit photos of himself, and he did it. And right away, they started blackmailing him, threatening to share the pictures online with his friends. And we explained this in the last episode, but I'll briefly cover. They probably found him, you know, on social media, you know, so let's use Facebook as an example. If your Facebook is public, or if you accept a friend request from one of these guys without knowing them, they can see your friends on your profile. They can click on your friends and send your friends messages and photos. Mm-hmm. So, and that's across all social media platforms. Well, he was only 17 years old, and from the moment the conversation started, within 6 hours, he was dead.
Yeah.
It took 6 hours. He told them he was going to kill himself, and they told him good and to do it fast. Again, entire conversation lasted for 6 hours. And wow. So if you think about your teenager, and by the way, teenage boys are much more susceptible to this than teenage girls, mm-hmm. but girls, you know, get scammed
this way
too. But
there are girls that do it too.
Yeah,
yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you think about, you know, what's my teenager doing in his room? Mm. You need to have a talk with them about these types of sextortion scams yep. because they are going after our children. Shockingly, two men in Nigeria were arrested for this. Excuse me. They were 20 and 22 years old. They were extradited to the United States. They both pled guilty to child sexploitation charges. Mm-hmm. And there's a third man who's fighting extradition. Again, this is a team of people
yep.
going after our children.
And I'm willing to bet, now I would have to do some real digging, but I would be willing to bet the only reason they were extradited, one, is because of the sex aspect to this.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I'm absolutely sure that it came with pressure from our federal government to Nigeria's government. You better send us these people or there's going to be some consequences, you know, financially for you guys.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's why... There were arrests in this one, but you're just not going to see a whole lot of arrests in the money scams.
Right. And his mother, he had set up his mother's TikTok account for her, you mm-hmm. know, long before this happened. She now uses that TikTok account to garner attention for child sexploitation all over the world. And the Network Contagion Research Institute, CRI, mm-hmm. says that they celebrate sextortion crimes over there.
Wow.
It's part of the internet subculture in Nigeria. In the UK, they are now going into schools and teaching children about this to help curb the number of victims, our potential victims. And that's, you know, it's all about education, whether it's publishing scam, you know, bank account scam, gift card scam, or sexploitation, and mm-hmm. some adults fall for this as well. It's all about education. We can't yeah. list all these websites, you know, the websites that are hosting these scams. We can't name all the perpetrators.
They're changing every day.
Well, yeah, and they're changing, and they're going by fake names anyway. Yeah. The only way to fight this is for us to go to the top of the mountains and shout everything yeah. we know to educate people so they won't fall victim to these scams.
One thing we have failed to mention as another source of that these scammers use that is a big danger for your kids are your young kids, teenagers in their rooms playing video games?
Yeah.
Okay, do those video games connect to the internet? I almost guarantee you if it's one made in the last 10 to 15 years, yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where a lot of kids get contacted.
Yeah.
Because once you're hooked into the internet with this video game, now you have the options of connecting with other people and playing as a kind of a team on the video game, and you can talk to each other and da-da-da. And... well, just like any other batch of teenagers hanging out together, sooner or later the hormones start to go nuts and mm-hmm. people start talking sex, and these guys are in there looking mm-hmm. for just that.
Yep,
trying to hook some kid into getting all excited and then convincing him to take his clothes off, take some pictures of himself, mm-hmm. and then upload them, and then boom. Guess what we're gonna do with this if you don't X, Y, or Z.
Worse, if they don't get a compromising picture of your kid, they'll send the kid a picture, their profile picture, and put a penis next to their head with mm-hmm. Photoshop
mm-hmm.
and tell them, send me this much money or I'm going to send this picture to all your friends on your friends list and tell them it's you.
I have heard also of these people sending a kid a naked picture of a girl.
Yeah.
And then saying, you know, she's only 13 years old. You've just committed a crime because it's in your possession. Mm-hmm. Now, you're either going to send us a bunch of money or we're going to call the police and let them know you have child porn on your phone.
That actually happened to someone that we know. It was a young man, and he was getting pictures of this girl who he thought she was 19 or 20. And after he got the pictures, he got a message saying, she's only 17. Send us this much money or we're going to file a police report on
mm-hmm.
you. And yeah. he went to the police department, and they said, yep, you got scammed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, luckily he was smart enough to, you know, go to the cops and
That was after he spent $2,000.
Oops. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. let's move on. Carson Cleveland, 12 years old. He was dead within 12 hours of contact. It was back in 2023, and he was contacted by somebody on Snapchat who posed as a girl around his age, and they convinced him to send nude images. He did. That's when the blackmail began. He bought a gift card and tried to send it to them, but the scammer said it didn't work. I guarantee it did work. They were just trying to get the kid to buy more and more gift cards. And less than 12 hours after being first contacted, he committed suicide. 85% of sextortion victims are boys. Here's the disturbing or sad part. His father had warned him about this crime. But his dad thinks that when it happened, he just panicked. And it was $25.
Yeah.
Just enough to buy a video game.
And a lot of adults probably look at this and they just can't understand how some kid's going to run off and kill himself over such a thing. But, you know, consider your, you know, what, how you were at age, 15, you know, 12, yeah. 15, 16, 17. If you knew or you thought that pictures of you, and I know you may be saying, well, I would have never sent those pictures in the first, but it's hard to tell what kids will do.
Yeah, that's true.
I look back and can't believe some of the stupid crap that I did
as a kid.
Oh, man,
me too. Yeah.
To me, now, it doesn't make any sense. When back then, when I was a brainless wonder, that stuff made all kinds of sense. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why? Yeah, because I felt like the thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
That's about all you can say about it. Felt like the thing to do at the time. Anyway, so, you know, when these kids are faced with the idea of everybody they know, their whole world, you know, everyone in school, whatever, seeing this and what they're going to go through, to them, it seems like a life not worth living.
Yeah. And all that embarrassment, you know, it's all about, you know, being popular or making sure people like you and never doing anything to embarrass yourself. And that's their whole world. Yeah. Their image is their world.
Exactly. And we deal with adults all the time who get scammed and they're embarrassed and just because somebody convinced them to give them some money.
Right.
You know, so you consider the amount of embarrassment that adults are going through when they learn that they've been taken for a ride. Imagine a kid that now there's this picture of them floating around out there.
And they think that it's going to be all over the internet and their lives are going to be over. So they end their lives. Yeah.
And for a lot of kids, the internet is a huge part of their life. They think that's all there is.
Yeah, right.
They don't understand there's actually a whole big wide world out there that really, believe it or not, functions without the internet.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, yeah. So, yeah, this stuff gets very serious.
Yeah. So we were contacted. It was an author. She was scammed out of $18,000 by a fake publisher, and she made the mistake of, I guess she had hired them to update her websites. So they had her login information for her websites. They went in and changed the passwords. So it was Ashberry Publishing. Berry is one R. AshberryPublishing.com. Ashberry-Publishing.com. They also took control of her social media accounts. They later wanted an additional $599. This is after she spent $18,000 and she didn't comply. Then they wanted another $12,000 for an audiobook contract. They tried to pressure her to, quote, find the money anyway. Of course, she declined. She, you know, she's a business person, and she lost her websites, and she's never getting them back. And one huge red flag was they gave her a guarantee. Okay, anybody in publishing can't guarantee how many books you're going to sell. They can't guarantee how much you're going to earn in royalties. Nobody can. Even the big publishers can't guarantee it.
Yep.
They guaranteed her royalties of $39,000.
Yep.
And, you know, just it can't happen. So we dug up some stuff on Ashberry Publishing. They claim to have been in business since 2012, but their website was just created in 2024. Okay, you see this a lot.
Yeah.
And that's fraud.
Yep.
The featured book on their homepage, The Girl of Many Crowns, was published by another company. That's copyright infringement. Feared and Forgotten, another book, was published before this company's website existed. This is a. I'll put a link to our 11 ways to tell if it's a publishing scammer article under this on writersweekly.com/podcast, episode 26. Another cover on their site was published by another scam organization we've identified. So now they're stealing from each other. Their U.S. address is a virtual mailbox rental service. They all have U.S. addresses, but they're not real.
Yeah.
And there's a way you can go into Facebook and figure out, in some cases, where these people actually are, and their page manager is in Pakistan. Mm. Of course, they claim to be the United States.
Yep.
So let's see. We got some more here. Why don't you do the next one?
Let's see.
yeah, you try to pronounce that name. You can have that one.
Ada Serrano on Reddit. She was drawn into a romance scam with a man who was supposedly on an oil rig in the UK. Just within 1 week, he asked her for $3,000 to repair some equipment.
Now let's talk about that. If you're working on an oil rig as an employee, why do you have to pay to repair some equipment?
I don't even think you have to bring your own tools as an oil rig worker.
Well, he said he owned the rig he broke the equipment. Oh, I've read that one before. I broke something on the rig and I have to replace it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a lie.
But she refused to give him that money, but he kept talking to her. So here's that persistence. Mm-hmm. They know how to just kind of keep it going. So that's when he started getting romantic with her and telling her the things she needed to hear. And later she did start sending him money.
Yep.
You want this one?
Yeah. Jolene Smith also on Reddit. If you go to Reddit and type in like, I was scammed by the Yahoo boys. Mm-hmm. I'm a Yahoo boys victim. Yeah. I was a victim of a romance scam. You're going to find countless stories, people sharing their sorrows. Also, if you're on TikTok and you start looking at videos of scams, read the comments.
I want to bump back up to Ada Serrano real quick.
Okay.
Because this is a huge red flag that for some reason you wouldn't do this in one circumstance, but you'll do it in another. So if you just got to know somebody, mm-hmm. if I just met you and we've known each other a whole week.
Yeah.
Even if we've been talking a lot, maybe we, you know, run to the same restaurant or maybe we work together. I don't know. If I asked you for $3,000 after 1 week of getting to know you, would you give it to me?
No, and I would never speak to you again.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet now again, Ada did not give her that $3,000 at first, but later did.
Yeah.
But a lot of people do.
Yeah.
After that 1 week or 1 month, or I mean, I don't know what the dividing line is. I would think first you have to be in kind of a close relationship for a while before you go asking somebody for that kind of money.
Especially somebody you've never met in person.
Exactly. Yeah. But people will do that.
And they're doing
online,
it.
Online. Which is just
of people
crazy.
Are doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Anyway,
and
it
goes back to the psychology of you think you're in love.
Yeah.
And you'll do anything to keep this romance going.
Well, it's because
going.
This person is not right in front of you. You don't see them. You're not having to deal with their negative aspects because you're not seeing them. So you get to create this person to be whatever it is you want to think they are.
That's right. You're exactly right. And, you're creating
and,
a fantasy
and,
in your
mind. And, of course,
mind.
They're just going to keep telling you all these wonderful things on, oh, I love you, and you're so beautiful, and it's wonderful, and, oh, I want to have a life with you, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you're just drawing this picture in your head of what this person is.
Yeah.
And anybody that's been in any real relationship understands, yeah, when you first meet someone and they're hot and you're all, you know, excited about them and everything, you know, it's great. And then you get to know them for a while. And then for both people, some of the negative things start coming out. Sure. Your little quirks come out. Your little nasty habits come out, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's if you're going to keep a long-term relationship with somebody, you have to decide how you're going to cope with the things about them you don't like. And there's not a human being on this earth that's married to somebody that likes every single thing about that person that they're married to.
What?
Exactly. That's what I'm always saying when you tell me, you know, criticize me about stuff. I'm like, what? You don't like that? What? I am perfect. But that's the thing is, yeah, when you're having this long distance over the internet relationship, and this goes all the way back to the very beginning of the internet, when people were complaining about meeting someone online and hearing all this wonderful stuff, and they actually meet in person, and that person isn't anything like what they claim to be.
Right.
In fact, a lot of times they were sending fake pictures of themselves, you know, or 20-year-old pictures, and the person would be like, wait a minute, this is nothing. Yeah, but you fell in love with me online, so this should work. No.
And you know, it's exactly what's happening right now.
And it's
They're
happened.
Sending victims pictures of other people.
Exactly, yeah.
And they're using that psychological training they have to, they will feed on your responses to questions and they know how to take it to the next level to keep you interested and keep you thinking they're so interested in you.
Yeah, exactly.
And then people look, fall in love, virtually fall in love, and they leave their IQ way behind them. Common sense is gone. They're just running on hormones, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So Jolene Smith, also on Reddit. Boy, there's a ton of them on Reddit. She lost $300,000 over the three-year time period after meeting a scammer on Match.com. Now, we talked about this on episode 25. Stay off the dating sites.
Yep.
Don't go on the dating sites. It's
I wouldn't say...
cesspool.
I used to do some online dating, and you cured me of that.
Well, we met in person.
And you, yeah, I know, I know. But I was still dating some after we were, when we were first friends.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And you were like, why are you dealing with these women?
Well, but, every time you go on a date, you give me a call and tell me the horror story of this one, that one, and the other one. And I'm like, yeah, what are you doing?
And if you are going to do the online dating thing, your earliest goal needs to be meet this person in person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If they're wanting to spend more than about 3 weeks talking online with you without actually committing to a, let's not even call it a date, a lunch meeting, whatever, just, hey, let's meet here. That way I can see you, you can see me, and we can see if this, if anything's working here.
And not just, you don't just want a commitment for a future lunch date. You want to meet them in person.
That's what I mean.
Before you proceed with the I love yous.
Oh, yeah.
Before you, God forbid, loan them $200 or $200,000.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, I mean, avoid it at all costs. But if you absolutely cannot go without jumping on a dating site and trying to find somebody, okay, good luck to you. And I hope you find somebody. But seriously, anybody you meet and get to talking to, you're... first priority needs to be, as soon as you can, get them to commit to meeting you in person, because a lot of those, you're never going to meet them.
Yeah.
Because they're not who they say they are.
Yep. Yeah.
Period. End of story.
Yep. That's true.
You know, don't live in fear, but live smart.
Yeah. So Jolene, she was deeply in love with the fake person, and she later learned he'd stolen his picture from someone else on the internet, and he said he had a kid. Well, when she learned how to do Google reverse image search. Again, images.google.com. Click on the camera. First, right-click on that photo where they sent it to you and save it to your computer. Then you can upload it to images.google.com, and you'll find that picture all over the internet, and some of that will be from scam alert websites. She found his kid's photo on a website for a modeling agency. And, of course, that wasn't his kid. She eventually ran out of money. And here's the thing. If you figure out they're a scammer and you call them out on it, and then they keep trying to convince you they're not a scammer, if you don't fall for that, if you keep knowing they're a scammer and you kick them to the curb, they're going to ghost you. Yeah. They're gone. Or when you run out of money. When they bankrupt you, you no longer serve any purpose for them whatsoever. You've already drained they've already drained your accounts, and they're gone. So she ran out of money and he ghosted her. And she said she cried after that because she missed his attention. $300,000.
And again, that plays into the loneliness thing. And they understand that. They get it. That's that psychology thing. They understand that there are men and women in this country who no matter what the world seems to think about us, that we all have all this money and wealth and stuff and we're rich and happy. There's a big loneliness problem in this country. And part of it is because we're all living on the internet. We're not really being around real people. But anyway, and they understand that. And that's what they play on. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And yes, hers is not the only story of somebody, even after they figured out they've been scammed, even after they realize it was all fake, they miss that person's attention.
Yeah. They miss the feelings that they got from talking to that person.
It's like a drug.
Yeah.
Just like a drug.
We know someone whose relative was online communicating with, quote, a woman in Japan and sending her lots and lots of money. His wife found out. They are now divorced. And He never met her in person.
Hmm. Yeah.
Sent her all that money. And even after his wife found out and told him it was a scam, he still started talking to that person again and Crazy. Sending more money.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh, there was another one. The friend of ours, whose boss, remember the boss?
Yeah.
Was talking to someone in Nigeria, thought it was a woman, I don't know where. It was actually a guy, apparently very talented at pretending to be a woman. Mm. And he sent the scammer so much money that he had to sell his house, he had to sell his business, his wife left him and took the kids. He now works somewhere and sleeps on the floor of his boss's shop at night because he's completely bankrupt.
Yeah.
Even after he found out this person was fake and that it was a guy, he missed the relationship so much, he kept talking to the person, even knowing it was a guy in Nigeria, and kept sending the guy money, pretending it was a woman. He was now the victim's pretending as well.
Again, it's like a drug.
Yeah, blows my mind.
And I'm sure somewhere deep inside him, he wanted to quit doing this, but it felt so good.
Mm-hmm.
He kept doing it.
Right.
And it's nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely when you get to that point, you really need some therapy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Gary Faircloth.
Gregory.
Thank you. Gregory Faircloth said he was scammed out of his life savings to, quote, a fat Nigerian man that claimed to be a struggling lady who was looking for a partner, a soulmate here in America.
Mm.
Now, he must have finally got
a picture
out. Of that guy, fat Nigerian man. That,
yeah.
Is it racist if I say that's an oxymoron? Because most people in Nigeria don't get enough to eat.
From the documentaries I watch, there are some skin. Just like anywhere else, there's some skinny ones, there's some fat ones.
Okay.
Yep. Hey, Hush Puppy was a pretty large guy.
Well,
I've seen his pictures.
And he had plenty of money to eat, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We've talked about this. We've actually written about this on Writers Weekly. Actually, attorney James Walsh wrote about money mules. A grand jury in Salt Lake City, Utah, indicted 7 defendants recently. Okay, 3 were from Texas, 1 was from Ontario, Canada, and 3 were from Nigeria. They scammed people in the United States and around the world for around $8 million. That was their take. So it's not just Nigerians we need to worry about. The defendants in the United States were the money mules. They helped the Nigerians launder money obtained from romance scams. And if somebody contacts you and wants you to accept money, keep a part of it, and send along the rest to them, you're now a money mule.
Yeah, that's money laundering.
And you could go to prison for that.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's how a lot of these scammers put several levels of separation between them and the scam.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody's like, you know, hey, I need $3,000 to fix an oil rig and, you know, send it to me here. Most likely you are not sending that money directly to that scammer.
Oh, you're not. Yeah.
You are likely sending it to somewhere not too far off from where you are probably. And I mean, in your country.
Yeah.
Going to somebody else who has access to whatever program, pay service, whatever that you're using, wire service.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wire money like Western Union, they're having you wire it to a location, a person. So the scammer doesn't have to go get that. They have somebody else that's coming picking up that money,
mm-hmm.
and then they take a little cut of it for themselves. Whatever the scammer, you can have, 5%, 10%, whatever. And then they package up that money and they're told to ship it somewhere else. And it may go to yet another person who ships it somewhere else. But eventually it gets the scammer. But
sometimes they do pick up packages.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they will send a money mule to your house to pick up a check from you. And that person will go and cash that check, mail cash, or they'll deposit the check and wire money to the scammer.
Yeah.
Episodes of Catfished on YouTube. That's socialcatfish.com, but it's Catfished on YouTube. Fascinating videos on there, heartbreaking, where they were at times able to track the payments, and within like 15 minutes, they'd move through like 5 to 7 bank accounts.
Yeah.
And of course, they always end up in Nigeria, or almost always end up in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And that's why you never get your money back. As soon as the money's in an account, it's gone. It's moved to another one. And that's, like you said, 7 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
They separate themselves from it. It takes a lot for law enforcement to try to track down where the payments actually ended up.
And oftentimes they can extort people into doing this.
Yeah. Yes.
Into being that money mule.
Well, once you do it one time, even if you didn't take a cut of the money, you're still laundering money.
Exactly.
Then they can blackmail you into forcing you to keep doing it, or they're going to turn you into the police.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, So that's it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger the deeper we dig and look into this thing.
Yeah, right. Extremely organized.
You want to talk about witch doctors?
Now, you mentioned this yesterday, the whole voodoo thing going on. Yeah, so there's a variant of the Yahoo Boys called Yahoo Plus Plus.
Okay.
They're not very creative. So Nigerian witch doctors have gotten in on the act.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually scamming the scammers too, okay? They tell the scammers which body parts they need for a prepared potion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where the whole satanic thing starts coming in. Scammers are evil. I know that Satan's running the show.
Yeah.
And so they're getting a lot of help there.
He's got a wide open door.
He sure does. So, for example, for business espionage or sabotaging data in large computer networks, the witch doctor says they need two left eyes and a young woman's left breast. She can't be older than 25 years old. So where do they get these women and these eyeballs? These eyeballs and breasts from these women?
Kidnapping.
Yeah.
Yep.
They look for young homeless girls who won't be missed.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have even sacrificed their own girlfriends, believing what the witch doctors are saying. They're going to be successful on this scam if they kill this girl and put these body parts into a potion. Mm-hmm. And they actually believe it. And they believe they can actually hypnotize people online. The witch doctor tells them they can do that. You know what? They are.
Well, in a way they are. I mean, it's not actually hypnosis, but I'm sure that they have some pretty big egos when it comes to what they can make stupid Americans do.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, absolutely. And I'm sure that they let themselves believe that somehow this is voodoo magic that they're sending across the internet to hypnotize you into sending all your money to them. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. May not be hypnosis, but it's definitely brainwashing.
It sure is.
Yeah.
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 Well, it's social engineering.
Oh,
there
yeah.
is a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
Social engineering.
And they've even caught police officers and even bank officials being involved in these scams.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the documentaries I watched that was talking about this aspect, one of their victims was a young college girl. They picked her out because she looked right.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in Lagos, Nigeria, and they kidnapped her, took her out somewhere, cut off one of her breasts, and
took her eyeballs.
a couple other parts, and took them to some guy to to make this magic work for them so they can get rich. Absolutely,
we know that human trafficking is a big problem all over the world now. I wonder
how many,
if some of the missing young women in the United States have not been sold into prostitution, but who have been murdered and their body parts taken. Wouldn't surprise me.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So, one other thing also in that same documentary, it might have been another documentary, but anyway, there was one that talked about, now I don't know if it's all Yahoo Boys or just a specific subset of Yahoo Boys, some specific group, but they said these guys go by three rules. One, the first rule is you can never cut your hair. Hmm. Two is you cannot eat food made of something. And the accent was just so bad. I couldn't understand what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And number three, you can never shake the hand of a man who knows your name. Now, I don't know the reasoning behind any of this stuff, but it all goes back into that voodoo culture.
Yeah.
And superstition. Yes.
Yeah, and cult-like
tactics. These guys, when they're brought into this basically gang,
mm-hmm.
Of scammers, they have to agree to these things, and they go through these rituals of washing themselves and some guy waving candles around them and crap like that.
Right.
They showed it.
Yeah.
There's a big cult aspect to this. Okay.
Yeah.
Only a small percentage of these are being reported.
Now, we talked about this in the last episode. The vast majority of people who are scammed never tell anybody, not even their spouse, because they're so embarrassed. So this university surveyed 1,034 university staff and students.
Mm-hmm.
to, and we'll put the link to this under this episode on writersweekly.com/podcast. So they were trying to assess their experiences of victimization online. So we already said males were slightly more apt to be victimized. Offenses that most of them didn't report to law enforcement included e-banking, bank fraud, mm-hmm. payment credit card fraud. That could be PayPal, Zelle, yeah. you know, credit card fraud. On top of that, identity theft, job scams. Okay, what they're talking about is you apply for a job online, you give them all your information, you give them a photo of your Social Security card, a photo of your driver's license, and they're just doing it to steal your ID. There never was a job.
Yep.
Also, over in Nigeria and in other countries as well, people go for in-person job interviews, they get kidnapped, and end up being trafficked to work for the scammers.
Yep.
So it's human trafficking working for Yahoo Boys as well.
Some of these job scams also include them saying, "Well, send us, you know, $25 as an application fee or something mm-hmm. like that." You're never going to get that job anyway, and they're just taking money from you. So,
and if you do it with a credit card, they got your credit card number and your expiration date and security code. And cryptocurrency scams, non-delivery scams, meaning you order something and it, of course, never arrives, and phishing attacks. Of the people they surveyed, 1,034 people, these were all young adults, only 39% of the victims reported the incidents to authorities. Yeah. So that's 61%. If we just use that as an example, 61% of scams never get reported. So mm-hmm. when you look at that, what was the number yesterday? 60 billion, something billion in the United States in 2024 alone? Or 16.6 billion? It's a lot of money.
I think it was 16 billion, in how much these people scam, and that's what they know about.
Right, so let's assume that's only 39% of the actual money that, and again, that was just the United States.
Yeah, it's
this
huge.
Is happening all over the world.
It's huge, yeah.
So you want to talk about John? Not his real name.
So one scammer agreed to be interviewed by CBC's Marketplace. He called himself John. Mm-hmm. And so he said that he basically explained how he did scams. So he says that he'd look for celebrity accounts.
Real celebrity social media accounts.
Real celebrity. And then when he found the then he would find the followers on these accounts. So they then add these people to a list of their potential victims. So think about that. You decide to follow your favorite celebrity on Facebook, and you could wind up on a list for a scammer to start targeting you.
And they're going to target you using the profile photo of the actual celebrity and pretend to be the celebrity.
No. So he admitted that he is part of the he's a Yahoo boy.
Yeah.
He would specifically coerce teens into sending nude photos of themselves, and then he would blackmail them. And he asked CBC asked him if he ever thinks about the suffering of his victims, and he basically said, "Well, I don't know what to answer to that."
Is that specifically what he said?
Yeah. Basically, he says it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't concern myself with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So CBC Marketplace set up 3 fake profiles on Instagram and then other profiles to make it appear that that person had a lot of friends.
So they took the 3 profiles and then added followers to those 3 profiles to make it look like those 3 people were popular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And this is they were basically following how the scammers do it.
Yeah.
Within 24 hours, they were targeted by 7 accounts that requested nude photos.
Think about that.
So
your teen or your child sets up an Instagram account. The kid will, of course, lie about their age. I never did that.
And they're getting hit up right away.
Within 24 hours, mm-hmm. there are Yahoo boys targeting them, asking them for nude photos or God knows what else they're teaching these kids about. Go ahead.
So even though they didn't send any nude pictures, the scammers pulled pictures from the social media accounts and then added pictures of penises next to the selfies. They then used those to try to extort the journalists who the scammers thought were these kids.
Yeah.
Saying that they would share the photos with all of their friends on their social media accounts because those are easy to click on.
Yeah.
CBC said the moment that the victim accepts the criminal's follow request, their entire social network is then compromised.
That's what we talked about earlier. Once you accept a friend request from somebody,
yeah,
they can see all your friends.
They can see all your friends.
And they can click on all of them and click the contact button. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, I remember I talked to you about, you know, there, you know, on my, like on my Facebook, at least twice a week, I'm getting, you know, some account from some really super hot looking 20-year-old chick, you mm-hmm. know, at least that's what she looks like, you know, and if you actually go look at the profile, mm-hmm. they've got two or three friends, or they may have 300 friends, but mm-hmm. there's only like, well, the account was set up 2 weeks ago and there's only like two or three, you know, hot pictures of her.
And that's it.
And there's no history. There's no today I went and did this. Here's my family. Nothing. And you got to wonder, all these guys that are clicking to follow that profile, they're probably just getting listed onto a scammer's.
Well, they have.
Or they're accepting her friend requests.
They have bots.
Yeah.
So I was investigating a publishing scammer the other day. They had had a Facebook page for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
They had 12 friends
mm-hmm.
and over 2,000 followers
mm-hmm.
and had only posted 3 posts.
Yeah.
So their Facebook and other platforms are basically doing nothing to stop these fake followers.
Yeah.
And again, it's these bots. They come in and click like under a variety of different names. They're all fake. They're all scammers.
And I'm certain the more followers you have on your account, the more their algorithm opens you up to more stuff.
Oh, sure.
That you know, so these scammers just kind of get a free surf ride all over social media because they can build up their own following, fake following,
mm-hmm.
easy.
The oil rig worker, the fake oil rig, the most recent romance scam, the guy that I reverse scammed.
Mm-hmm.
When it came time for me to tell him, because I'd gotten all those screenshots of all those photos, his photos are all over the internet, all the fake everything.
Yeah.
And I had it all ready for him, and he actually was pretty smart. I guess they're all pretty smart. So I'm in the middle of talking to him. It was like mid-morning. And I said, okay, I'm ready to send you the Apple gift card information. He said, well, send me a picture. And I said, well, I dropped my phone chasing the rooster the other day. And I really had chased the rooster.
Uh-huh.
And I broke my camera. And he said, I know what you're doing. I said, oh, you do? He said, you know, I've really enjoyed talking to you. I'm like, well, yeah, I am pretty entertaining. I know. He said, I know you blocked me on Facebook. I had my friend go and read. You've been posting our conversations on Facebook. I went, busted. And that's when he said, fuck you. And I never heard from him again. So anyway, that was pretty awesome. That was
good. One other thing that I wanted to mention on this, and this is something else you'll see if you watch several of these catfished episodes. There are some people real people on Facebook whose pictures have been used so much,
mm-hmm.
so often, and they keep hearing from people, you know, did you try to contact me? It's like, no, sorry, it wasn't me. They were actually bringing these people onto the show to introduce them to the scam victims. To explain to them, yeah, I'm really sorry. That was not me. Somebody's been using my picture and mm-hmm. pretending to be me to get people to. And I just want to let you know, I feel terrible what happened, but it was not me that did that. And it's happened to me 100 times already. And that's, I mean, it's crazy.
They're going out and they've, well, like we talked about in last week's episode, they have catalogs of photos. I'm sure they're electronic catalogs where the scammers can go in. Hey, this one works great. This one attracted more than that one. You know, the fake oil rig guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, first photo, I pulled it because he stole the other victims, you know, the photo mm-hmm. victim's photo, set up a profile under that guy's name and use that guy's exact photo.
Yeah.
So I was able to click on the scammer's profile, grab the photo, do the reverse image search on Google, and that's how I found the actual guy.
Yeah.
His real Facebook page.
Yeah.
Now, this is weird. So I go to his Facebook page to tell him, hey, the scammer's using, you know, here's his face. You could turn him
he
into
probably
Facebook,
knew.
Whatever. No.
Oh.
He and I had 3 mutual friends. He's a writer.
No kidding.
I mean, what crazy? Are the chances? And he lives in California. He doesn't work on a oil rig on the coast of Ireland Ocean. That was it.
The Ireland Ocean.
Yes, I asked him what ocean his rig was on. He said Ireland Ocean. I just pretended that was a real thing. Yeah, it was great.
You can hear that story in last episode.
Yeah.
We talked about, the guy said he worked on some ocean that doesn't even exist.
Right.
But anyway, okay, so to end this story, the scammer, John, also specializes in lotto scams. So he will tell people, hey, you've won the lottery. Hey, I won the lottery, and I'm willing to share some of that with you, but I need you to fork out a few dollars for taxes or fees or whatever.
Oh, the lottery commission saying I need to pay extra to have them, split the payment or whatever. A woman impersonating an actual friend of mine stole the photo and the name and everything and just set up a whole new profile on Facebook, contacted me with the exact same thing. Hey, Angela, how you been? I'm great. How are you? Well, how are the kids? Your husband, everything. I've heard from you in such a long time. She's like, I got to tell you something. I won $450,000 in the lottery. And I thought about you. And you know what? I want to share it with you. And then the next day, I heard from a completely different friend who wasn't a friend. Same name. Exact same thing. Different amount of the winnings, but they come up with one scam, creative one, and then they share the information with all their buddies, and that's why you'll often get hit over and over and over. Some authors are getting these scam book club emails. We wrote about the fake book clubs that are emailing authors all over the United States right now, millions of them, in Writers Weekly last week, but some authors are getting 20 to 30 emails a day from different email addresses that are basically the same scam.
Wow.
Yeah.
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 Okay. So let's see. Phone numbers. You want to talk about how these phone numbers that are being called in from other countries show up as a U.S. phone number?
Yeah. If you Google the phone number, it's going to show that it's a United States phone number. That is a virtual phone number. And that's a phone number that allows you to make or receive calls, as if you're in the United States, regardless of your actual location. And you can get one for as little as $3 a month. And that's, that's actually a pretty small investment for the scammers. They also use VoIP. Voice over internet protocol.
Yep.
And that allows them to make voice calls over the internet that make it sound like it's a real phone call.
Yeah. That's one of the technologies that, Zoom and these other things work on. It's voice over internet.
So. Right. And a lot of those services are free.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. COVID shots. The COVID pandemic turned scams into a gold mine.
Hey, you forgot to say pun intended.
Yeah, I know I skipped that.
COVID shot the scammers to stardom and profits.
Okay.
Pun intended. Go ahead.
So everyone's stuck at home, and so what is everyone going to do when they're stuck at home? Well, they're going to go online.
Yep.
And that's when the loneliness pandemic in our country kind of started and never seemed to have gone away. And that, with all the insanity that we've all, adopted,
been dealing with, it's
wearing
incredible.
Masks and staying away from each other. And
remember when we thought that once they got rid of the masks and once everything started calming down, we thought life would get back to normal. It's never getting back to normal.
I still see lunatics driving around in their cars by themselves, a mask on their face.
Oh,
so
I know it.
Didn't
I know
go
it.
Away. Yeah.
I mean, but the psychological
there's still
impacts from COVID.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're here to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost as if it changed our culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one mother, we got a couple more specific cases before we wrap it up. She was, her son ran into her bedroom one night, and she didn't put her name online. And the scammers had taken his social media picture, so he didn't send them any compromising photos, put a penis next to it, and told him they were going to share it with his friends. Wasn't even his penis. Okay.
Well, I would hope not, because I'm not sure how you'd get in that position, but go ahead.
Well, if they've got a profile picture...
they used AI to make him naked and...
Had something to do with that. Yeah. Anyway, he told his mother, I need $600 right away. And so while they're on hold with the police department, Mm-hmm. She told her son to delete his social media profiles, and he did. That did the trick.
Mm-hmm.
She's a good mom. She knew exactly what to do. And it's good that he felt comfortable coming to his mother for help. But a lot of kids
won't.
A lot of kids won't. And a lot of kids, they're going to think they're in trouble because they did something wrong.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're even embarrassed in front of their parents. And then, you know, there's a lot of kids that just don't have a good relationship with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have anybody to turn to for help. So she's mom of the year in my book. Now, since he went in and deleted his social media accounts, the scammers did not contact his friends
because
he didn't fall for the bait. He didn't respond to them. He just went straight to his mother, which is exactly what... If you're a young person listening to this and this happens to you, if you can't talk to your parents, find a neighbor, a trusted friend, preferably an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, take yourself to the police department and tell them you don't want your parents to know.
Yep.
And you know, reach out to a teacher, anybody. Do not respond to the scammer. Find help from an adult immediately.
Well, and also understand that this is such a huge thing going on. Everybody knows about scammers now, and everybody knows about being able to take someone's picture and doctor it up and stick things on it. So, you know, don't freak out. You can tell anybody that asks, yeah, they stole my picture and made it look like that, but that ain't me, and move on with life.
Well, and we said this yesterday, we'll say it again, the best response is no response. Yeah. If you do not respond to them,
they go away.
They're going to move on to the next victim because they know they're not going to get any money out of you, and it's not worth their time to go and click.
That's the thing. Time is money to these guys.
Yeah.
Now they will invest some time on somebody they think they can work into giving them money.
Mm-hmm.
But once they understand that you're just not going to have anything to do with them, it's a waste of their time. They're not going to make any money continuing to mess with you.
Yeah.
So they just don't even bother.
It's a financial and a psychological game to the scammers.
Yeah.
And if you're too hard to play with, they're just going to move on to the next person, find somebody else to play with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The scammer told the child that if he didn't find the money, quote, you will wish you were dead.
Mm-hmm.
But again, once he deleted his accounts, his friends never said a word, and nothing else came from that.
Yeah.
Well, we got, what, two or three more? Murray Downey, 16-year-old, sent an intimate picture of himself to someone he thought was a young woman, and then the demands for cash started. These are people who posted their stories online.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel D. 2 years ago, 16-year-old Daniel D. also took his own life after being sent two naked photos of himself in a ruthless extortion attempt. The scammers demanded 100 British pounds on Snapchat. So he killed himself over 100 pounds.
100, yeah.
Yeah, which is about 125 US dollars.
Yep.
And I wish he'd had somebody he felt comfortable talking to. In 2013, Daniel Perry, age 17, jumped from a bridge after sharing compromising Skype messages with someone he thought was an American girl. The African male wrote to him, "I will make you suffer. Pay up or you'd be better off dead."
Yeah.
And he killed himself. Okay, so you think it's just kids being driven to suicide?
Mm.
No. Plenty of adults all over the world killing themselves after getting scammed. Laura Cowell had a $1.5 million nest egg. She lost it all. According to CBS News, Frank, that's a scammer, drew Laura into a relationship after she connected to his profile on the popular dating site Match.com. Again, warning bells. Over months of giddy cell phone calls and in hundreds of florid emails, Frank manipulated her by drawing on publicly posted details of her life to forge a bond. And that's what you were talking about.
They research you.
Yep, they research you, and they know how to form a bond with you. They know how to make you fall in love.
Yep.
Then he induced her to invest with his online trading firm. Okay, this type of scam is all over the catfished videos.
Yeah.
They tell you, transfer money to this account, and the scammer has a very sophisticated looking bank website or investment website, and they put up a page for you to log into, and they put like, you know, bar graphs and stuff in there, and it makes it look like every day you log in, there's a little more money, there's a lot more money.
Yeah.
And in actuality, and there's no money at all. The scammer's already bought a Bentley with your money. So, after she ran out of money, he turned her into a money mule. And she died from drowning. They've not yet determined if it was suicide or possibly murder. but but she spent all her $1.5 million and it's, you know, gone.
Yeah.
Senior FBI officials told CBS News a striking number of cases are ending with victims dying by suicide. So I watched, AERP has a video where this older guy's adult children were interviewed because they wanted to share with other retirees what can happen. Dennis was 82 years old. Mm-hmm. He met a woman, we're sure it's a man, on Facebook. The fictional Jesse offered to teach Dennis how to invest in crypto. He invested his life savings and then committed suicide.
Wow.
Chris Leeds, 43 years old and a father of three. He was scammed twice in a row. He found out he was scammed the first time, got scammed a second time for more money. And like we said in the last episode, we're hearing from authors who've been scammed three, four, or five times in a row. Yeah. And just a certain mentality are more liable to get scammed, which is why they sell scam victims' information to other scammers online. Yeah. Anyway, after he got scammed the second time, he hanged himself. Again, father of three.
Great.
Frank Mazziotti?
Yep.
Yeah, he was 44 years old. He met a woman online, left his wife of 11 years, paused his business, sold his house, and moved to Mexico to meet with this, quote, woman. His family believes it was a romance scam. He was found dead of a gunshot wound to the head. The family will never know if it was suicide or murder because, contrary to Mexican law, his body was quickly cremated. In Mexico, they have a law where if you're from another country, they have to wait a year to cremate the body just in case there's any questions about the death. And the family was contacted by his, quote, girlfriend. But they'll never know what happened. But the part that he left his wife after meeting a woman online and then moved, sold everything he owned and moved, you know, out of the country.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are getting divorced before even meeting the scammer.
Or even meeting
person.
Somebody in person. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's it's just, I don't, you throw everything away on a dream.
Yep. Yeah.
So a 73-year-old man in Tennessee, he believed in that he was in a romantic relationship with a celebrity actress.
I wonder if it was Jennifer Aniston.
Probably Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
The scammers even went after him about a fake sexual harassment lawsuit from the actress that filed by the FBI.
Okay, now, ex-cop, what's wrong with that statement?
Well, you don't file sexual harassment anything with the FBI.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's a civil thing.
Go ahead. So he's talking to this actress who's fake. And in the last episode, we talked about the celebrity scammers, Johnny Depp, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston. So I guess she probably gets flirty with him. He gets flirty back. And then the scammer says, oh, we're going to sue you,
for sexual harassment.
So, so how much did he lose?
And again, you really can't even, quote, sue somebody for sexual harassment unless you're in a position of some kind of power over them. So it's like I meet you on the internet and I say, hey, baby, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, you can't sue me for sexual harassment because I can't do anything to you.
Yeah.
I can't fire you if you don't go along with it. I can't hold you back from a promotion. I can't, you know, I can't do anything to you. All I did was compliment you on your
And clearly he didn't consult with an attorney on this.
Yeah. So, that's kind of, you know, freedom of speech there. Anyway.
But then again, 73-year-old man.
They extorted $87,000 out of him before he committed suicide.
Yeah. Again.
All with the threat of a sexual harassment lawsuit.
Elderly.
Yeah.
You know, lonely, vulnerable. That's why we don't just talk to our kids about this stuff. We talk to our elderly parents about this stuff, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to finish this up?
Yeah. So we mentioned this before, but how can you help? How can you help stop this epidemic? Education is the key.
Yep.
You've got to tell everybody you know what you know about scams, refer them to resources where they could read about it. The more people hear about it, the fewer victims. There's still going to be some victims because some people are just dumb, you know? And some people are just, they're more vulnerable to these types of things.
Well, I think we had one of those today. You were talking to, they were asking you about some other publishing company instead of saying, hey, you guys look good, I'll come to you. No, he wanted you to answer about some other publishing company, and you told him, yep, that one's a scam.
Okay, so he came to me about one company yesterday, and they were already on our spreadsheet of publishing scammers. And I already had screenshots and everything. So I sent him all the information I had, and I said, here's what you look for. Here's the link to the article, 11 Ways to Tell If It's a Publishing Scammer. And I'm going to do this one for you. Here's all the, you know, fake book covers, copyright infringement, you know, syntax errors, grammatical errors. They all have this, almost all of them have a horizontal strip of major media logos, which none of their books have ever
been. And you took about 15 or 20 minutes to type all this up
right.
for
him. I give him all the information. And then he writes to me this morning. He says, you know what? I checked out BookLocker, and I really want to use you guys. This is great. So how can I send you my manuscript? Well, I'm going through my email, and I'm about to answer his email, but another one comes in from him. He goes, wait a minute. What about this company?
Yeah.
Now, exact same website template, the horizontal major media logos, the fake covers, just a different name and different colors.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I almost beat my head against the wall.
This is the person that's going to get scammed.
Yes.
Because no matter what, he's talking to the company that's not going to scam him, wanting us to tell him about these other companies.
After I've given him.
And he's still asking us about more companies. So it means eventually he's going to learn the hard way.
Yeah. And that was after I gave him
about it.
Irrefutable proof. Yeah. Their website's registered in Iceland.
Yeah.
Facebook says they're in Pakistan.
We're not.
Their their address is a really rundown home in a crappy neighborhood.
Yeah, ours isn't.
Right.
Well, keep going.
RVs in the front, in the driveway.
Yeah.
Rundown RVs.
But everything that's wrong with all these other, these scam companies that these people ask about it, that's not us.
Yeah.
We have everything lined up that says we're not a scam.
Yeah.
And yet they'll still turn around. Oh, okay. Well, what about this company?
What about that company?
Guess what?
About that company?
You're going to get scammed.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're staring at the company that's not going to scam you, and you don't want to use us.
Mm-hmm.
And instead you want us to answer all these questions you about all these other companies. Well, eventually we're not going to talk to
you. I wrote
anymore.
To him and I said, I already sent you the article, the 11 ways to tell.
Do your own homework.
I did the first one for you. Yeah. Now you know how to do it from now on.
Yeah.
And if he gets scammed.
But he's not going to.
Sorry, but I don't get paid anything to do this research for authors. I have made not one penny from doing this research for authors.
So there will be some.
Yeah.
There will be some that are going to get scammed. But the reason that we're continuing to hammer on scamming on this podcast, and now we've even veered away from just the because when we started this, we were talking about we're only going to focus on the publishing scams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we realized that it just branches off into so many other areas, and it's such a problem. We may as well talk about the other scams too.
Well, and the people running the publishing scams are the Yahoo boys are running
people.
The other scams.
Yeah, so that's why we're doing this. And practically beating a dead horse because we can't say it enough.
And the romance.
And warn you enough.
I believe the romance scams have the highest number of victims.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
More than publishing.
Just the heavily emotion thing. But
so here's
is how to solve it is educate everybody.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody understands, you know, what to look for and to be careful out there.
Yeah. So Writers Weekly is completely free. Always has been. Always will be. You'll always be able to get in, look at everything on the website, not log into anything. We're asking for a favor in return for all these years of service to our readers. Can you please share the links to this podcast for episode 25 and 26, writersweekly.com/podcast, with everybody you know, your family, your friends, your children, your elderly parents, your writing groups and friends, your other groups, writing and author groups and friends and your other groups. Can you please share the links so they can listen to the episode so they can get educated, so they can educate other people. And it takes a village, you know, to take care of each other.
Yeah. You think it's not going to happen to your family and your friends, but we're on the receiving end.
Yeah.
We hear so many people.
Every single day we get contacted by several people who have been scammed. Yeah.
And those are people's mothers, those are people's sisters, children, grandparents, everything. They all have family. So,
and we hear from the victims as well, not just their not just their family
members.
But
that's what I mean. That's what I mean is all these victims that we hear from that come to us. Oh my God, I got scammed. Oh my God, I got scammed three times.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all somebody's something.
Right.
They're related to somebody, or they're friends with people who all can't imagine that that person would have gotten scammed. Well, lo and behold, they did, not only once, twice, three times sometimes. It's out there, and there are people falling for it. So you've got to get the word out.
And
because the scammers aren't going to stop.
Yeah.
You can't jail enough of them. It's not going to happen. It's only going to fix itself when people just stop, you know, accepting.
Engaging
with these. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you share this with one person who won't end up getting scammed out of their life savings, or you share it with someone and a child gets educated and a child doesn't end up committing suicide.
Killing themselves, yeah.
It will have all been worth it.
Exactly.
Every single thing we've done over a year now with James Walsh, attorney James Walsh, it will have all been worth it if we could save some people, save even one.
Yeah.
Especially a child.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That's about all we got.
That's what we got for today. It's almost dinner time.
Yep, exactly.
And it's cold outside.
So we thank y'all for joining us and listening in. Please share this episode with friends, families, neighbors, you name it.
Yeah.
If you got a book you want to publish and you don't want to get scammed, come to booklocker.com. Click on a contact us link. Any of your questions, emails, comments, whatever, go straight to Angela. She'll read them and you'll hear back from her. We don't have any call centers in the Philippines or anything like that. It's all us.
Or Nigeria.
Or Nigeria.
Yeah.
And we'll treat you right. Our prices are reasonable.
You know, our prices are lower than the scammers.
Our prices are lower than the scammers. I don't know why you're going
to
that.
I know, which again blows my mind.
I don't know. I keep telling Angie, we need to raise our prices. Apparently, it's doing good for the scammers. So
we're not
going to
do that.
So anyway, y'all take care, and we will see you next time on the Writers Weekly Podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.